morning. If you are in Kidmo, you're dismissed. You can go to your worship experience this morning. Wow, that is a lot of kids in Kidmo. I see you adults sneaking out. Come for the music. The guy starts talking, and then you start bailing. I get it. All right, now we're glad to have you here. We're glad to for you to be here with us. Let me just thank Don and Kim for leading us in worship today. Don came racing back from a project he's been building to be with us today. And Kim, this was her first time leading worship, so let's show her our love and appreciation. You never know how nerve-wracking it is to be in front of people. As loving and as accepting a group as you are, just being in front of people, no matter who they are, it can just literally make you go nuts. So we appreciate their willingness to step in and lead us, and for Kim for stepping out and doing something new with us today. So we appreciate that. As you know, we had a great time this weekend. Some of you knew, and we're at the wedding for Richard and Wendy, and so they are gone. I don't know why they wouldn't want to be here. But apparently they wanted to go on a honeymoon. So they are doing that this week. They're going to be gone this week and next week. And so we just want to wish them well. And there's a picture of them. And it was a beautiful wedding, a great couple. We're just so honored to have them in our community, and just to love on them and them to love on us. If you would like to be there just when they get back in 2 weeks, they will be back here at Journey, and we're going to be having a reception for them. The venue where they had the wedding was kind of small, and so not everybody may have been able to come that wanted to. And so we're going to have a reception here that afternoon on the 19th. So we'd love for you to come just for us to share our love with them. And they give so much of themselves, for us and with us. So it's a great chance for us just to celebrate and also show them how much that we do truly love them. We've got a lot of things going on in the life of our church. We've got a lot of people that are going through some life transitions. Several children have come into the world, and we've got more kids that are on the way, and we've got children that have been adopted and are now amongst our midst, people getting married. It's fun to watch people growing in their lives and for us to be a part of it. And I want you to know that for me as a church community, my desire, not so much for us just to be here on Sunday mornings, but to interact with each other on these level of life events, is just an incredible opportunity to be a community. I mean, how many of us just sit around all day wondering, I wish I had somebody to do something with? Does anybody do that? A lot of us don't do that. I mean, we're just busy all the time. And so it's a beautiful thing to have people to count on and to celebrate with, and just to say, hey, we love you. So anyways, lots of wonderful things happening. Next week, guys, is Mother's Day. You heard it here. No excuses. And we are going to be celebrating Mother's Day here with our moms. If you have a newborn or a child that is new into your family, and you would like to take part in a child dedication, we did this last Mother's Day. We're going to do it again this Mother's Day. And literally what a child or a baby dedication is, it is parents saying, we want to raise our children to know Jesus Christ and to walk in his teachings. And as a community, it takes all of us to be a part. It takes those of us that we see them on maybe a pretty regular basis to be a part of their lives, to help, to offer babysitting, to just be a shoulder to lean on whenever things are going, terrible, like especially in the 2 through 18 range. You know what I'm saying? That we can be there for them. It's also for those of you that are volunteering in our Journey Kids ministry, because that is a huge ministry just to partner with the parents. Every one of us knows if we have a parent, or if we are a parent, that's everybody again. Then we all know that our parents didn't really know anything until we got to be about 30 years old, right? Amen. But a lot of you that serve in our Journey Kids ministry, you don't realize the impact you have on these children, because you're not mom and dad. And so thank you for all of you who are willing to serve and give of yourselves and invest in these kids. And we've just had parent after parent just say how much they appreciate you and what you do for them and for their family. So it's all just a wonderful opportunity for us as a community to help each other. But if you would like to take part in this child or baby dedication we're doing next week, then all you need to do is let me know. There's a sign-up sheet on the back. If you want to have any questions, come and talk to me. We have a gift to give you, and we just as a church affirm you and the choice that you're making as a parent, and that we're going to walk with you. And we're going to do that next week. So we would love for you to be here and be a part of that. As a small church that doesn't meet 6-8 times a week, I want to just take a few minutes to give you an update, kind of where we are on where we've been on the journey of our finances. We've shared with you a few times in the last few months. You know, we've had some really great times, and we've had some times that we're like, you know, hey, this may be it. So I hope you've enjoyed worship. We may not be meeting next week. And so I wanted to give you an update and let you know where we are, and just thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thank you for your investment in our ministry here and all the things that we have just started, but we have so much farther to go as a church reaching out into our community. So just a real quick rundown for the numbers, and I am open if you would like to come talk with me later. We can talk more about the specifics about this, but just to show you kind of where we are, this is this is January 1 through the end of April. So this is 4 months, you know, a third of the year. It's not a quarterly, it's a third of the year. As I've shared with you before, in order for us just to maintain what we do here, and we do a great job working on a shoestring budget. We want this to be a place for people, not a place just to push a budget. And so we work on what we can, and no one makes a big paycheck, and we try to spend things very responsibly. For the first 4 months of the year, giving is right at $38,000. Looking at where we were when I kind of raised a flag of caution back in February and March, that's really pretty good. You guys really have been very generous over the last couple of months. Our goal is in the $10,000 to $12,000 a month range. That is really what we need for just basic maintaining the ministry. And so we're a little bit below that. You know, we really want to be closer at this point of the year. We really want to be closer to the 46, 48,000 range. But hey, listen, we are glad to be where we are. And thank you for those of you who are willing to give. In addition to that, $800 has been given to go towards missions opportunities, just giving outside to others. We do carry a load of debt that stems from both our startup as a new church and then the renovation of this part of the facility that we have undertaken. And I'll share with that in just a minute. But we have $2,800 has been given, actually a little more than that has. That's the figure, the matchings numbers that have been given so far. Women, and I'll explain that. Women's ministry a little bit came in for our retreat. And then the next slide, you can see where we've been spending some money. Just for audiovisual stuff, we're right at the, actually that and worship. Those are actually, I meant to take out AV equipment, our worship. Those numbers are the same. Worship needs to come out. For worship and audiovisual stuff, we're at $353. Building expenses, that's just maintaining the building, light bulbs, filters, fixing something that broke. Child care is whenever we provide child care for something like Convergence or some of our seminars. That's how much over the year so far we've spent. Which, by the way, if anyone is open to just serving in the area of keeping kids for those special events, that's a great way to, you know, you get a raise by cutting expenses. That's a great place to do that. But we've had a couple of girls outside of Journey that have been very faithful on Friday nights to be here with us almost every week. Coffee bar, we're getting the coffee bar going. Total debt reduction that we've been spending to lower the debt so far this year is right in the $6,000, a little over $6,000. That includes that matching gift that came in. Discipleship, those are just materials or things that have to do with just our regular small groups and Bible studies and things like that. Hospitality, that's, you know, our waters and our coffees and all that good stuff. And when we provide a meal for someone, that's all in hospitality. Insurance is the cost of doing business. I know, and for some of you, just hang in there. I'm just running through these. Insurance is we have to do that to be responsible. Somebody falls and gets hurt, we need to pay for their treatment. If somebody does something they shouldn't have and there something happens, we want to not let the church go away because we weren't able to cover legal expenses. We've never used it before. We've never had a claim in the 5 years as a church, but we do still maintain that that insurance payment. Journey Kids, just our ministry. Again, they run an incredible ministry on a shoestring budget. Miscellaneous is just, you know, everything from my trip to the beach. No, I'm just kidding. But miscellaneous just covers all those, you know, little things that don't really have a category. And then he went to the beach. What? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't, haven't been to the beach, but
cheap trip.
Cheap trip. Yeah. Hey, listen, ask my wife. I'm a cheap date. No, missions, that's money that has been spent in our community or for those in need so far. Actually, that number is a little low as our, we're really at kind of the way we operate for missions and ministry giving is that we have base level things we have to pay for rent, insurance, stuff like that. We're right at meeting all of those and a little more. The beautiful thing about what we do here is our goal is not to just expand a business model. And so as our giving increases, all of those numbers increase. Missions increases. We don't throw it into paychecks or things like that. We get to actually throw it into ministry. So the way that a church budget really works is you have your basic stuff you got to cover. And then for us, rather than just growing our operating costs with giving, our desire is to still keep those low and grow our ministry giving, our ministry expenses. And so as our giving increases, that's where it goes. And so that number, I really hope we can increase and move forward and giving away to the community. Office expenses, you know, if you're in an office, you know what those are. PayPal fees, those are just fees we pay to use the PayPal service. That's actually a pretty small percentage of what comes in through PayPal. Staff would be all staff salaries. Everything that has to do with staff is in that figure for the first 4 months. Next slide. That's just to be in the building, how much we pay in rent. Our student ministry, again, running a great ministry on a shoestring budget. We've got utilities like everybody does. And then the women's ministry, that was primarily the retreat that you all took in February. And that, a lot of that was given to make ends meet for that. And then we cover the rest. And then the final exciting number to share with you is we had an offer for a matching gift, $4,000 that would be given as a matching gift for anyone that would like to. Now, our debt at the first of the year was right in the, you know, $34,000 range. And so, as I've said, we paid down about $6,000. Some of that includes interest. About $6,000, so that our debt right now is about $29,000. Now, that's pretty good for us. I'm a person that doesn't want any debt at all. In fact, this is the first place I have ever been a pastor of a church in which we have incurred debt. Every other place I've been, we have removed debt. And so at the height of our beginning, we were in the $90,000 to $100,000 range of debt. And now we're down to about $29,000. And so we had a matching offer that, yeah. We had a matching offer for $4,000 that up to $4,000, every dollar given to reduce debt would be matched. So far, $1,400 has been given with the matching gift. That gives us a total of $2,800 that has gone specifically towards the debt reduction. That still gives us, quite a bit, another, $3,600 that will be matched. That's $2,600. Thank you. I can't do math in my head. $2,600 that can be matched. For those of you who have given towards that, I just want to thank you. And as I shared before, when we started, a lot of churches that start like this, they have big givers, big organizations that fund them for a few years. And we didn't have that. So we literally have lived off your giving from day one. I mean, that literally is how, in which I just want you to know, in the world of starting churches, is virtually unheard of. Virtually unheard of. And so even when we come and we say, you know what, things are tight, and if you can give, we need you to give. I want you to know it is so significant that every other church that started when we did, that did not have a massive, you know, organization funding them for several years, is no longer still meeting, no longer in existence. Of the 12 to 15 churches that started when we did, that started with the same financial plan that we did, we're the only ones still here. Now, I don't say that as a celebration, because I want every church to survive and to thrive and make a difference in the community. But it is a testament to your willingness to support and to give and to make this thing happen. Be faithful in your own walk to just be generous. And so I want to thank you for that. My goal is to get rid of the remaining debt as soon as possible and then move forward and reaching out into the community. Debt cripples churches. And since we didn't have any of those, one of the blessings of this matching gift and of removing this number itself is simply the fact that we had to put all of this on my wife and my credit. So all of that has sat on me for the last 5 years. And I'm going to tell you something. It is so incredibly stressful. And I just appreciate all of you who have said, you know, we want to help you get rid of this. That is not my, I didn't go to the beach and lump that into the money. That's just expenses that went for Journey. But no one would give Journey any kind of credit, and we couldn't get started. We had nothing to get started with. And so maybe I would have done things differently if we did them again. But I want to thank you for your generosity in doing that. And I look forward to the things we're going to be able to move forward as a church where we're taking. Just imagine if we could take that $6,000 we spent on debt reduction, get past it, and we're spending $6,000 for people in need. You know what I'm saying? That we can do things out in the community to help people. We got to kind of deal with our stuff now so we can deal with their stuff as soon as possible. So I would encourage you to continue to be a part of that. We have really tried our best to be investing in this and do this. And God has just been faithful and blessed us as we have worked towards getting rid of this debt as well. So again, I just want to thank you, and I wanted to raise those numbers. And again, where we were a couple of months ago, I really didn't know if we would still be holding services today. But we're strong and vital today. And that is because of your generosity and willingness to give. So I just want to thank you for that. Okay. All right. Fun stuff is out of the way. This is what I really want to talk to you about. As Don mentioned, the characteristics of God are significant. Because who God is determines who we are in his eyes. Who he is determines who we will be as his followers. And the beautiful thing about God is, unlike you or I, he never changes. So when God reveals a portion of who he is, you can go to the bank. That's the way he is all the time. And when he says, if you follow me, I will do this, he always keeps his promises. He says, I am the beginning to the end. In other words, I am everything. Nothing I say doesn't happen. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I make you a promise, that promise will be kept. And if I tell you, by following me, this will happen in your life, by following me, this is what will happen in your life. God is trustworthy. He is faithful. Now, some of the characteristics we've looked at for God that are so crucial in understanding who he is fall into kind of two categories. God is Savior and God is holy. That's really the two primary ones we've talked about so far. Now, if God is holy, we broke that down. Holiness literally means unique, set apart, uncommon. God is truly unique. While we may talk about other gods that people worship, they're just apparitions of their imagination. There is only one God. There is only one true creator. And he does live and he does exist. He is holy. That means he's different from all of us. He's different from anything that we might even want to think that a God is. God is truly unique. Now, within that holiness, we see some kind of subcategories, if you will. He's good. God is always good. God is always just. He will always do what is right. And he will always answer injustice with justice. And God is ultimately, in the end, the judge over all of us. He has that right. He takes that right. And we are not judges, but he is. But he only judges through what is holy and just. And then the third one that we talked about last week is that God is righteous. And literally what righteousness means is that we take the holiness of God and we apply it to our everyday circumstances, decisions, lives, the directions that we take. Righteousness is literally applying holiness to our life. Holiness then must be what God has demonstrated about himself to be true, not what we make up to be true. And so that's kind of what we've talked about. Now today what I want to share with you is another aspect of his character that for me I draw great peace in. Because I know for many things in our lives, you and I are judged by what we do, right? Anybody? At work, you're judged by what you do. You keep your job by how well you do your job in most cases. Most of the relationships we have with people, we are judged by what we do. Do we not? We hopefully have relationships with people that love us unconditionally, but by and large, people tend to judge us by what we do, and if we disappoint them, then maybe they withdraw, and if we do something that they are pleased with, maybe they re-engage with us or strengthen that relationship. One of the things that I love about the character of God is that in God's consistency, God is mercy. God is mercy. Now, we could say God is merciful, but it's not the same as saying God is mercy. You see, if God was merciful, merciful would be some idea that God holds to. But instead, God is mercy. In other words, he is the embodiment, the creation of mercy. He is mercy. He doesn't just do it as if he might decide one day not to do it. It actually emanates from his character. God is mercy. If you see anybody do something merciful in the world, what you see is them demonstrating this character attribute of God. It's always from God. He is always the one that it emanates from. And it is never based on a person's willingness or ability to do good, because Scripture clearly tells us no one does good on their own. It only comes from God. Now, here's where things get a little confusing. Because we recognize there are people in the world, and you and I have had times in our lives where we have followed in the way of Jesus and times that we have not followed in the way of Jesus. Now, there are people who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior and yet can still act very mercifully with others. And at times that's confusing to people who are disciples of Jesus. Why are they acting this way when they outright reject Jesus? How is that possible? Some even take that to the far extreme to say, well, God must not be real if a person who rejects God can still emulate the character of God. And in this, we're going to also find in the God's mercy that he works within the world mercifully, even in the lives of people who have rejected him. Now, that does not mean that will be the case eternally. But God is active and working in our world, not only being mercy, but showing mercy to all of us and through all of us, even if we have rejected him. That is how merciful he is. And we're made in his image. Thank you, Don. All right, so let's move through this. I only have a few scriptures to share with you today, but I think you're going to get the point, and you're going to get it very, very well. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 in the New Living says this, and you can go to the bank with this, but God is so rich in mercy. He is rich in it. He just overflows with it, just ready to pour it out on others. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus. Now, as I look back over my life, and as you look back over your life, what I know is anything going well in my life is as a result of God's mercy being active. When I look through my marriage and I look through my family, we are where we are by God's mercy. You know how I know that? Because I know me. We are where we are at because of God's mercy. When I look back over the lifespan of our church, I look back over our lifespan, and again, I look at all those who had great passions and goals and wanted to reach the world for Jesus that are no longer here. We are here because of God's mercy. It is not that they did not receive God's mercy, but for whatever reason, well, this is still God's desire for us. And so we exist only because of his mercy. Because I want to let you know right now, if there's a mistake to be made in church planning, we've made it. Every one of them. If I've made a mistake within my life, if there's a mistake you can make, almost all of them I have made. One of the mercies God has shown me is an ability to learn from my mistakes. Amen? It's one of the beautiful things that God gives us. It's not just a line to follow, but an ability to learn so that we can overcome as we grow. God is rich in mercy. When you look at your life, some of you are just glad to be alive, honestly. Because God was rich in mercy in your life. For some of you, you have a job and it is, you are just so thankful for your job because you didn't have one before. And God has been rich in mercy for you. For some of you, you had a job, but you hated your job. And now you have a job you love because God is rich in mercy to move you through those things. Some of you are saying, I need a little bit of that mercy right now. I don't love my job. I'm ready for some of that to come right here. I need some of that mercy. And we're going to talk in a minute why some seem to receive it and some don't. God is rich in mercy. He's always handing it out. And I just want to give you a hint to where I'm headed with this. Whatever God gives us, he expects us to give others. And so you and I cannot fully embrace the concept that God is mercy until we recognize we must be mercy as well. And how that will look around other people's lives. Mercy in the Greek is the Greek word eleos. It literally means to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. Now, sometimes we get the ideas of mercy and grace kind of intertwined because they have similar ideas. We're actually going to talk about that God is grace. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But God is mercy is just, I see a need and I am going to help meet it. If you and I were to sit down and really write out our list of needs, some people, their needs are very obvious, aren't they? They need to be able to pay their mortgage. That is an obvious need. They need to be able to pay their utility bill so the lights or the water stays on. That's an obvious need. When you see a couple and they're always arguing, you see this is an obvious need in their life. There are some obvious needs. And then there are those that are not so obvious that we may not be so readily to admit or may not be so obvious just to the naked eye. But if we were to all write down our needs, mercy is the ability to see your need and want to respond. Mercy can be seeing someone who is hungry and feeding them. Mercy can see someone who is struggling because no one will be around them and you embrace a friendship with them and you invest within their lives. Someone that everyone else has said they're not worthy to even know us, and yet we gravitate towards them. That's one of the crucial lessons we want our children to learn in public school. We stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. They are in need and they need somebody there with them. You may not have to be the strongest one in the room, but when people come together, there is strength in that. It is an example of showing mercy to others. See, we all have different levels of need. God is mercy means he sees your need and he meets that need in your life. And as we read in Ephesians, the primary need you and I have is a need to be forgiven from sin. See, here's the reality. Let's say I lose my house. House is gone. The thought of me losing my house and not knowing where to take my family to sleep is a horrific idea for me. It's one that not unknown in this room. The idea of losing a job or a paycheck and not being able to meet basic needs, it is a horrific idea for me. But yet, at the very end of the day, if I lose everything I have, if you lose everything you have, if we even take it to the far extreme and the thing that we hold most tightly to, our own lives, if we lose them as well, what God has told us is there is an eternity of life beyond when this heart stops beating. And so if everything is taken away and we just take it to the extreme, that even our lives themselves are taken away, there is something of value waiting for us that is greater than my house or my paycheck or my heart beating within my chest. And so at the very base, background, foundation, whatever you want to call it, God's mercy is demonstrated on taking care of that. That in the end, we can know Jesus Christ and spend an eternity with him because of his death on the cross. That is mercy. Now some of us, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when things are going okay, we tend to start being really bothered by the little insignificant things, you know? You know, like we in our family, we like to eat certain things. We get our favorites, you know? And maybe one day I'm worried about, can I pay my mortgage? But when my mortgage is paid and there's food on the table, you know, one of the things we love are crystals. Anybody else? As I get older, I eat fewer of them. You know what I mean? Some of you know what that means. I eat fewer of them. Another one is chips and dip. And I remember there was only one place that had the kind of dip that we used to love as a family. I mean, it was our favorite. And I would know, I could tell you exactly which grocery stores would have it. And whenever we would want to have chips and dip or people over, I would go to that store. And if I would go and it would be out, I'd be like, God, how is this possible? Do you ever do? I know you all don't do this. You're not near as petty as I am. God, how is this possible? This is where it's supposed to be. And it's not here. We can't do this. You know, we're looking for stock boys. Hey, where is it? Now, Deidre, she's not like this. You know, she'll just take whatever's off the shelf. She doesn't understand the important anyways. All right. Now, when I'm struggling to keep my lights on, I could care less what I'm putting in my mouth. But what we have a tendency to do is when our basic needs are met, then we start getting trivial on what our needs are. And then we go to God and say, God, I know you gave me a car, but come on, look what my neighbor has. And we think, I have a need. I mean, this thing backfires. The whole neighborhood looks at me. But it does get you from point A to point B, which is better than having nothing. See, that's what we tend to do. And when we approach the topic of mercy, what we have a tendency to do is we kind of raise up our expectation level as our needs get met. Until they get more and more trivial. I honestly believe one of the reasons why Jesus says it is harder for a rich man to make it into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Because once our basic needs are met, we start getting more and more trivial. And our basic need as followers of Jesus, we must say, I am a sinner destined for hell, an eternity apart from God. And God says, I have seen your need. I have had mercy on you. And my son is dying for you. And he rose from the grave. So we have to be careful as we talk about mercy to think, our needs are all, and your moment of feeling need, they're all serious. But what is really the most serious and important need in your life? 1 Peter 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, that is the most basic way he has met our greatest need, by giving us hope. Do you know what a person who does not know Jesus and walks through this life, the number one thing they love once they come to know him as their Savior? It is that they finally have in their life hope. There is nothing worse than living a life without hope. And many of us know exactly how that feels. Things will never change. It will never get better. There is nothing to work towards. We've had, within our circle of influence, our friendships, we've had several who have taken their lives because they felt that there was no hope that life would get better. And I want to tell you, I've done a lot of funerals. Doing a funeral for someone who has taken their life because they felt they have no hope is the hardest thing I ever do. One of the most beautiful, most basic things that God gives us in his mercy through Jesus Christ on the cross is you and I can have hope. God wants to work within your life. He wants to be there. It is him showing kindness for our greatest, most serious need. If you're taking notes, Jesus gave his life because God saw our need and had mercy on us. That is why. Not because they were bored. Not because they couldn't go create a universe somewhere else. But he saw our need and he had mercy on us. Because God is mercy. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, to an inheritance that is imperishable. This is what we're receiving. Undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to know that he gave his son for you and I. And I want you also to know that God's mercy is always available. Don mentioned this when they were leading worship. His mercies are new every day. Now, wouldn't it be terrible. You know how on your phone you have the battery thing and it shows as your battery's going down? And you're thinking, you know, if you're like me and I don't have a charger cable with me, I'm thinking through the number of phone calls I need to make and who am I going to call before my battery's dead? What if we had a mercy meter? You know? And I don't know, it was like maybe not stamped on our foreheads or somewhere we could see it. And we just said, you know what? Ooh, receive mercy. It's going down. And we just saw that just always shrinking. Wouldn't that be awful? God never says that's how he operates. In fact, in Lamentations, which I think it's so fascinating that this is where this verse is because, you know, Lamentations is not a positive word. It's like when the book that you read when you're just so giddy happy and you want to bring yourself down, read Lamentations, you know? So let me ask you this. How many of you read Lamentations lately? Exactly. I mean, it's like we're lamenting. Oh, Lamentations. But this is what it says in Lamentations. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Some of you need to walk out of here hearing nothing but that. His steadfast love for you, it never ends. No matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter how many times you've made them, his steadfast love never ceases. And this is a book that's talking about lamenting. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that is who God is. That is what his mercy is. It is always available. And it is progressively revealed. It means that we receive some mercy now, and we receive some mercy later. Now, we sometimes go to, you know, we'll have some kind of big, or somebody will have some kind of big kind of religious experience. And they'll just say, if you have a want or a need, and just let's just pray about it, and God wants to give it to you. And the problem is that kind of meeting has pushed more people away from the gospel than just about anything else. Because that's not how God operates. Mercy does not operate on an on-demand type system. I need mercy in this one. Hit my remote. Boom. Got it. And then all of a sudden that need is met. God doesn't operate that way. We want him to. As children, that's the way we wanted our parents to react to our needs. Because we want our every need met at that moment. And I think right now, at this time in our history, we are so addicted to immediate gratification that we have taken that towards God and said, if you love me, you'll give me this right now. If you're real, you'll make this thing happen right now. And God says, I don't work that way. Well, how are you a God of mercy? Let me ask you this, parents. Have your children ever wanted you to give them something or do something for them that you knew was not good for them and you withheld it? You were not seen as merciful. There was a need, you didn't meet it. There are a lot of things, and our kids, this is their first year in public schools, and they're experiencing a lot of kids out there that in their classes that they get to do a lot of stuff our kids don't get to do. And one of the things is Deidre and I were constantly saying no to stuff because their friends get to do this stuff. No, you do not get to watch a rated R movie. No, you do not get to play a rated M video game. No, you do not get to, but all their friends do. We do not seem merciful in those moments. But we know that those things will have a negative consequence on their lives. Is it mercy to give someone something because they feel it's a need? Or is it mercy to actually meet the need they actually have? So that's what God does. He meets the need you actually have, not the need you feel that you have. Because we are great at missing what is most important. And God never misses what is most important. First Peter 1 again, verse 6, it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. How many of us have various trials? You're grieving through those right now. You're grieving and you're saying, God, just if you're a God of mercy, help me. This trial, you don't understand. It is about to overwhelm me. I need you to do something. See, this is not new. This has happened to every person in all of history because this is how God works. And it goes on to reveal, and it says this. You have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you may have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy.
Excuse me.
Rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God has a purpose for you to reach. And sometimes he withholds the mercy that you desire because he wants your faith to grow to something else. There's a greater need or goal in your life. So just like I may withhold from my children, just as God may withhold from me, God withholds from us for what is best, not for what seems immediate or important in our own lives. So he does still meet our serious need. But maybe the serious need for you right now is not that this problem goes away or this person no longer acts out in these ways. Maybe it is instead finding a way for God to be manifest in your life every single day. Excuse me. He does not always meet our needs by rescuing us from our needs. I want you to think about that. He doesn't always meet our needs by rescuing us from them. Paul himself said, I was afflicted. I had a thorn in my side, and there's been a lot of debate on what that is. It really doesn't matter. Something was going on in him. He wanted God to take it away, and God said, no. You need this. And this is where he said, my power is made perfect in weakness. And so God may not rescue you from your needs because that may not be your greatest need. It may take time to find that. And God may seem cold and unloving. But that is the truth. And the bottom line is you will go through storms in order for your faith to grow. As we receive all of this mercy, I want to leave you with one more thing. It is this. Because God has given us mercy, you and I must also give mercy to others. This is where many Christians struggle with on a regular basis. Many within the church are not known as merciful. We hold accountable. And we don't. And accountability is not bad. Accountability is necessary within the body of believers. The problem is we want to hold people accountable that do not possess faith in Christ. That's not for us to do. Another problem is we have grown up in a religious nation that has, for the most part, validated yours and my beliefs. And we all can watch that validation slipping away as our nation more and more rejects those beliefs. And because so much of that is happening right now in our generation, there is a move to grab it back. And so we hold out and we say, you shouldn't do this. God's going to hate you for that. And rather than demonstrating the love of Christ, what we end up doing is condemning people. And when Jesus himself said, I'm not here to condemn you, but to offer you a new life. So that's one of the reasons we've withheld mercy is because as Americans, we're holding on to something that really wasn't ours to hold on to begin with. Because our faith is not dictated by our government leaders. Our faith is dictated by the truth and reality of who God is. So you and I, our goal and our purpose is to demonstrate the character of God, not to withhold the validation of our beliefs. So as we have received mercy, we give mercy. We should be seen as the most merciful people on the planet. It does not mean that you or I are always. There are times I don't want to be merciful. You cut me off. I don't be merciful to you, right? We won't go there. That's just a little too personal. That's one of those little sins, right? We won't go there. But there are times we don't want to be merciful. but we need to be. Matthew 5:7 says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." You know, there's a verse right after the Lord's Prayer. Most people know the Lord's Prayer. They do not know the next verse. It says, "Forgive those who sin against you. For if you will not forgive those that sin against you, how will your Father in heaven forgive you?" In other words, if you know God, you exude his character. We should be merciful to others. I'm just going to read this, but this is self-explanatory. Luke 6, this is how far he takes it. He says, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies." I mean, we're going extremes. Not just the guy that gets on our nerves, your enemies. "Do good to those who hate you." I mean, come on. I don't want to do good to those who hate me. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also." Are you kidding me? Anybody seen 42, by the way? Jake and I saw that yesterday. Great movie. You need to go see it. It's a story of Jackie Robinson and the first African-American baseball player to enter a completely white league. It is a great, great film. It has some language in it. If you have young children, it is a great, great film. And it talks a lot about, in the story of Jackie Robinson, turning the other cheek when he wants to just fight back. It's a great story. You need to see it. "To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. In order, just give it away. If they steal it from you, just give it. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back." That goes against everything, guys, in the room that we feel is natural. But God is holy, set apart, unique, uncommon. We follow his example, not our own. That's what holiness is. "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? You'll get it back. Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be," this is that mercy that comes later, "will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." That is yours and my call. Bottom line, share the mercy that God has shared with you. So we can claim this mercy as a beautiful gift from him. We have to share it with others. They need to see it in us. It means that we forgive people that we don't want to forgive, that have not asked for our forgiveness. It means that we meet the needs of people as we see them. It means that we hold others accountable that are followers of Jesus in our faith who are walking away from his teachings. That is also mercy, but we do that in love because you and I have or are or will walk away from the way of Jesus at some point as well. And we want to be lovingly brought back. Not goaded or humiliated or ridiculed back. And bottom line, this is what I believe happens when you begin to truly know and experience the mercy of God. You will begin to look for suffering in others. Now, I think this is at an all-time low in our society because you and I are just trying to take care of ourselves. We got a lot going on right here. I mean, how can I worry about your suffering? I have enough suffering of my own to take care of. But I want you to know, as we lean on the strength of our God, he will help meet your needs so you can help others in their needs. And in so doing, we point them to a loving Savior. God is mercy. Today, if you're here and you need mercy, then I want you to know it's available. It's new every day. There's an unlimited supply of mercy that God wants to give you. If you have people in your life telling you how much of a dog you are, I want you to know God has never said that about you. He has an incredible amount of love and mercy for you. For some of you in here, you have a relationship. It is broken right now, because you have failed to show mercy to each other. And you need to walk out of here. And you need to, I know it's going to be awkward. I know it's going to be weird. And I know it's been a while. But you need to go show mercy. Because God has shown mercy. And if we take following Jesus seriously, we will recognize this is central to his character. And because he is merciful, we will be merciful. For all of us, as we worship in giving, as we worship in meeting needs outside these walls, as we worship through singing, as we worship through the way we use our hands at work, as we worship, we do it because our God is merciful. He is good, and he is just, and he is loving. We're going to close with one more song. We're also going to take our offering if you would like to give. If you are interested in being a part of Journey or learning more about it, we're actually immediately after the service, you know, grab your kids, grab another bottle of water or something. We're going to be having about a 30 to 45 minute seminar right up front. Just what does it mean to be a part of this church? And then we're going to go out to eat after. Some of you have signed up. If you didn't sign up, you can still come. Then we're just going to go out to eat. If anybody wants to go out to eat together, we're just going to chat, get to know each other a little bit better. That's going to be right after the service. I want you to know, above all things, God loves you. He has an abundance of mercy for you. So let's worship him for that. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for incredible love you have given us. For the mercy that you've given us, even when we don't deserve it, you've done it only because you love us, and you love us wholly and completely. God, I pray that you would help us to see the suffering in others just as you have seen the suffering in us. Let us help share the greatest need they have, and that is to know Jesus Christ. Father, help us also to see the needs that are keeping them focused on just their own problems and not reaching out and looking for the creator of the universe. Help us to meet those needs as well. Father, I pray for those in the room, and they need to give mercy to someone, and they do not want to do it because it is painful. They have hurt them. They have said things. They have done things. God, you can do something supernatural through your Spirit in their lives so that they can give that mercy to others. God, as we close with this music and the song, Father, let the words coming from our lips, let them be a song of praise and worship because you are our God and you love us. And you are mercy. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.